fade in. Sad King Billy's five seed ships floating like golden dandelions above a lapis sky. White cities rising on three continents, Keats, Endymion, Port Romance, the poet city itself. More than 8,000 of art's pilgrims seeking escape from the tyranny of mediocrity and searching for a renewal of vision on this rough-hewn world. Asquith and Windsor in Exile had been a center for android biofacture in the century following the Hegira, and now these blue-skinned friends of man labored and tilled with the understanding that once these final labors were finished, they were free at last. The white cities rose. The indigenes, tired of playing native, came out of their villages and forests and helped us rebuild the colony to more human specifications. The technocrats and the bureaucrats and ecocrats were thawed and let loose upon the unsuspecting world, and sad King Billy's dream came one step closer to reality. By the time we arrived at Hyperion, General Horace Glennonhite was dead, his brief but brutal mutiny already crushed, but there was no turning back. Some of the more rugged artists and artisans spurned the poet city and eked out rugged but creative lives in Jacktown or Port Romance, or even in the expanding frontiers beyond, but I stayed. I found no muse on Hyperion during those first years. For many, the expansion of distance because of limited transportation, EMVs were unreliable, skimmers scarce, and the contraction of artificial consciousness due to the absence of datasphere, no access to the all-thing and only one fatline transmitter, all led to a renewal of creative energies, a new realization of what it meant to be human and an artist. Or so I heard. No muse appeared. My verse continued to be technically proficient and dead as Huck Finn's cat. I decided to kill myself. But first I spent some time, 9 years at least, carrying out a community service by providing the one thing New Hyperion lacked: decadence. From a biosculptor, aptly named Grauman Hackett, I obtained the hairy flanks, hooves, and goat legs of a satyr. I cultivated my beard and extended my ears. Grauman made interesting alterations to my sexual apparatus. Word got around. Peasant girls, indigenes, the wives of our true blue city planners and pioneers, all awaited a visit from Hyperion's only resident satyr, or arranged one themselves. I learned what priapic and satyriasis really mean. Besides the unending series of sexual contests, I allowed my drinking bouts to become legendary and my vocabulary to return to something approaching the old post-stroke days. It was fucking wonderful. It was fucking hell. And then, on the night I had set aside to blow my brains out, Grendel appeared. Notes for a sketch of our visiting monster. Our worst dreams have come alive. Something wicked shuns the light. Shades of Morbius and the Krell. Keep the fires high, Mother. Grendel comes tonight. At first, we think the missing are merely absent. There are no watchers on the walls of our city. No walls, actually. No warriors at the door of our mead hall. Then a husband reports a wife who disappears between the evening meal and the tucking in of their two children. Then Hoban Christus, the abstract implosionist, fails to appear at midweek performance at Poets Amphitheater, his first missed cue in 82 years of treading the boards. Concern rises. Sad King Billy returns from his labors as overseer on the Jacktown restoration and promises that security will be tightened. A sensor net is woven around the town. Ship security officers sweep the time tombs and report that all remains empty. Mechs are sent into the labyrinth entrance at the base of the Jade Tomb and report nothing in a 6,000-kilometer probe. Skimmers, automated and manned, sweep the area between the city and the bridal range and sense nothing larger than the heat signature of a rock eel. For a local week, there are no more disappearances. Then, the deaths begin. The sculptor Pete Garcia is found in his studio, and in his bedroom, and in the yard beyond. Ship security manager Truan Hines is foolish enough to tell a news teep, "It's like he was mauled by some vicious animal, but no animal I've ever seen could do that to a man." We were all secretly thrilled and titillated. True, the dialogue is bad, straight out of a million movies and hollies we've scared ourselves with, but now we are part of the show. Suspicion turns toward the obvious. A psychopath is loose among us, probably killing with a pulse blade or hell whip. This time he, or she, had not found time to dispose of the body. Poor Pete. Ship security manager Hines is sacked, and city manager Pruitt receives permission from His Majesty to hire, train, and arm a city police force of approximately 20 officers. There is talk of truth-testing the entire Poet City population of 6,000. Sidewalk cafes buzz with conversation of civil rights. We were technically out of the hegemony. Did we have any rights? And harebrained schemes are hatched to catch the murderer. Then the slaughter begins.